when the Urban Radio Show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Hello, we're back, or is on the line with a person from Syria, also named Syrian. Are you still there?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could make a video about what's going on in Yemen, similar to the one you made about Syria.
Oh, you saw that one. I'll work on one. It is a lot easier to understand with all the maps and things than me trying to describe it verbally, so that's a good idea. I'll put that on Vimeo. I have a little issues with YouTube recently.
Yeah, I've heard Ken O'Keefe has already moved on to Vimeo as well.
That's right. Ken O'Keefe has moved to Vimeo, and if I can recommend a video of his about Palestine, it's called Trade Not Aid. It's genius, and I recommend everyone to go see that on Vimeo for Ken O'Keefe. So, yeah, I will make a video about Yemen, and I'm going to talk about it a little more as well. Thanks for your call.
I much appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. You're welcome. So, see. Well, do I get into Yemen or get into Africa? Do I have another caller? No? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Back what I was talking about, Iran's natural gas. So I want to finish up a little bit more on that. So we have one line going east to Pakistan, but the real threat, and this is getting into Syria and what the caller was talking about, I made a video about Syria. There is another line, the Islamic pipeline, which was something after it was clear the U.S. was being kicked out of Iraq was going to be possible. And in 2011, they agreed, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, to build a line from Iran, again, natural gas, on up to Syria. Now, this is very threatening to somebody because currently the BTC line from Azerbaijan, which passes through Georgia and then Turkey, a NATO ally, and opens in the port there in the Mediterranean, has a virtually near monopoly of this natural gas as well as oil. It's an odd thing because it goes west, and then if it's going to Asia, it slides through Israel to get to the Red Sea through their line, and then it can go to China, India, and to Asia. It goes to Europe. It doesn't have to take that. It can go directly. Usually it goes to Italy. But if there is a line going from Iran to Syria, then that can be completely avoided, and they can send their oil to Europe directly, and they can also go to Asia, and they can use the Suez. So there's the economic threat, and Turkey stands to lose a lot in that. Now, this pipeline deal was in 2011, and then suddenly that is when we're going to kick up all the propaganda about Syria. I mean, it was ridiculous the way it starts, having people being shot at a funeral, or 2 days ago, they're trying to rope in Lebanon, and the whole narrative is completely asinine. Okay, you have Syria, which has these factional infightings right now, countless examples of foreign intervention, shipping weapons into these rebel groups and things. So the dumbest thing in the world to do would be to go over in Lebanon and, oh, I know, let's shoot two religious leaders, Sunnis. Why not? That'll help the matter. But that's what happened. And if you were to believe the Assad regime is dumb enough to pull a stunt like that, then you please pull your head out of the sand. They have said from day one there is foreign intervention and snipers and intelligence agencies involved in this. The Turks have been caught sending weapons. The Israelis have been caught sending weapons. Now, they have different interests. Turkey's is mostly the BTC line. Israel has a long list of reasons why they would love to catch Syria in constant conflict, not only to block the line from being built, but to steal territory. That's what Israel does. They've attacked Lebanon before. They used the old Hariri assassination to get the Syrian troops out of Lebanon to build up to that attack in 2006, and that whole thing turned out to be botched. But by the time the investigation went through, it didn't matter. The troops had been removed anyway, and they attacked the Lebanese. And Hezbollah beat them anyway. But you can see this long, larger picture of these war games. and what's very dangerous in my...
filing bankruptcy and no attorneys.
What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Working two jobs ends never seem to me. Son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him, the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her walk on water, we've destroyed her faith, treated her with scorn, and made her long regret the day she was ever born.
Yeah, welcome back. This is Republic Broadcast Network. I apologize, folks. I think I talked into a little bit of a commercial there. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Apologies there. But we are talking about pipelines, talking about Iran, talking about natural gas, talking about Syria. We'll jump back into it. And I was saying about the $10 billion deal between Syria, Iraq, and Iran for the pipeline going to Syria, and that's motivations for why Turkey does not want this to happen. And, of course, they're going to ally with Israel. Israel hates everyone around them. I think that's pretty mutual. That's what happens when you act the way Israel does, however. But so we have this line going there. And this is an interesting picture forming because, on the one hand, one may assume, well, Russia has a near monopoly on natural gas through all of Europe and Asia. Iran has the second largest reserve. So why would Russia be on the side of Syria in this if this pipeline could threaten, partially threaten this gas monopoly and allow gas to go to Europe from Iran? It seems like it would be cutting into Russia's gas interests. Well, that may be true, but a far larger interest for Russia than the gas is their military interests, and the gas is secondary to that. And what people need to understand is, in Syria, the only Russian naval base that is left on the Mediterranean is in Syria at Tartus. It's the second largest port in Syria. And Syria is a beast. They have like probably the fifth strongest anti-air defense, and they've got this Russian naval base. Invading Syria is almost a non-option. So what they're doing is putting it in perpetual conflict with regional fighting, using mercenaries, basically. Because as long as they can keep some low level of conflict going, this line isn't going to be built. But the Russians are going to side with this because they have this base and it's the only one. They can't afford to lose it. And things are really heating up. I mean, if they lost this, NATO would monopolize the Mediterranean, something they would love. But Russia's not going to give this up. And Assad in Syria already agreed to allow Russia to build up the base and dock Russia's nuclear warships there. This is really escalating, and it's completely – it's nonsense. I think these the world is run by psychopaths, that they play around with this, and all these people are – dying. And why? For our energy interests, so that they can keep this class system the way it is. The Russia's got its nuclear warships there. Now, as far as the axis of evil, Turkey, Israel, the U.S., and I guess you could throw the British lapdog in there as well, are going, conflict in Syria is enough for them, and they don't want to challenge the BTC line. That's from Baku in Azerbaijan. Which there are two lines. One brings oil, one brings gas west. And but, you know, Israel really enjoys its place as a position as a middleman. And so they can't send this east. So it's now like there should have been or could have been a line going directly to Asia through Afghanistan. But that's not going to happen because the U.S. invaded Afghanistan. Been there 11 years. That's longer than Vietnam. That's America's longest war, and they have no plans of getting out of there anytime soon. They're talking about dates like 2024 or 2025. Oh, let's stay another decade. And why? How does it benefit? What is it? Osama's – no, Osama Gate, allegedly he's dead. He's been dead a long time actually. But we're not there fighting al-Qaeda. We're there well – liberating heroin, you could say. This idea comes to the U.S. versus when it goes like, okay, we have U.S. interests, Israeli interests, which is going to win between those? That's a no contest. We know it's Israel. And the CIA is really enjoying their liberation of about $65 billion worth of heroin annually. And I'd like to plug something on Boiling Frog's post right now. Sybil Edmonds has the article up. In very simplistic terms, this is something you can go link and show to a neocon or Republican, some complete sheep, because it has little pictures to say, where is the heroin coming from? Where is it being manufactured? What's it being transported on? Where's the money going? In a very, very simplistic way, with like a, like almost a pop-up book level that, even a Bush administration official, possibly even Joe Biden, who's never been sober for 2 days in a row in his life, could even understand. That's how easy it is. That's on Boiling Frog's post, and they're talking about the heroin trade, and then there's a more serious article if you want to get in depth into it. But that's all we've really been liberating, and it's very important because it's not just the CIA running drugs. Everyone knows they do that. It's drug money is better than just plain old money because it's off-the-books money, and it's a medium. It's very easy to divvy out, and it's a way to play the shadiest groups imaginable. Is you can pay them with a type of distancing factor. It's like the opium war part two. We have a Contras part two as well. But opium accounts for about 50% of the shadow economies of places like Azerbaijan, for example, which are key in that whole Caspian region in Central Asia. These are small states. They have like one super resource. They have nothing else going for them. Some of the cities don't have paved roads. The infrastructure is falling apart. and the money doesn't trickle down. We just put in despots, and they retain power by force, usually. And that's okay, though. See, we can support dictators when they're our dictators. And when I say we, I don't mean America. I mean the companies that rule America. And that's what's going on. It doesn't benefit the people. The common person in the U.S. has no idea where Azerbaijan is, never heard of it, doesn't know anything about it, couldn't tell you one city there. It doesn't matter. It's totally off the radar. But that is part and parcel with our educational system. And I certainly didn't learn this in school. I learned it on my own. But that is another greater problem in education, which is another can of worms. But none of this matters, really. I mean, education does. But, I mean, knowing about this, so what? You know, Israel can straight up attack the U.S. and say, it wasn't me. And that's enough. It's an excuse for them. It must be nice to hold such a tight congressional blackmail and have them all by the shorties. They have the strongest unregistered lobby. Because Israel's a brand new country. All the other foreign lobbies, it was established, you're a foreign lobby. But they went through this loophole saying it's the Jewish lobby. It has nothing to do with Jewish people. That's why the I in AIPAC is Israel, Israeli. But they are an unregistered foreign agent. And that matters because it allows them to openly bribe congressmen. I mean, lobbying is legalized bribery. It's almost as bad as direct bribery. I mean, you don't have a contract or anything like that, but that's what it is. And it's not just the bribes, it's the blackmail. If you read Sibel's new book, Classified Woman, not only is it the blackmail we knew about AIPAC and other lobby groups, there is a whole secret branch in NATO specializing in this and hiring what I call rent-a-terrorists, privateers, basically, where it's okay to use members who we later say are part of Al-Qaeda, like Al-Mihdhar, who is also involved in the USS Cole bombing, another Yemen thing. It's okay to use these people when we're in Bosnia or Chechnya and they're killing people, we tell them. But if they kill someone else, then suddenly, then it's terrorism. But if we want to kill Russians or we want to kill someone else, the same methods, same people, and money from our government, or through NGOs, then that's okay. That is the level of hypocrisy that we are dealing with. And it's, do you see this on CNN, ABC, and NBC, CBS, Fox? No. And that's why RBN and What Really Happened, and that's not my website, but I contribute to it, Mike's webpage, whatreallyhappened.com, is surpassing CNN in viewership. They're getting more viewers than Anderson Cooper. Why? Because we don't lie to you. I might be wrong about something, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, the corporate media, they're not reporting. They're not researching. They are selling you a product. It's a brand. You have like a little left wing on NBC and the overt right wing on Fox, and they're really all Republicans because they have the same foreign policy. They just have a different way of branding the same garbage to sell to different demographic groups in the U.S. It's like Obama, Romney, Mitt Romney, and Obama. What do they differ on? Suddenly, they say gay marriage, which I don't know why it's called gay marriage instead of homosexual marriage. Apparently, it's only the gays, not lesbians, but whatever. That's like the one issue, and he has to make that an issue, and it's not sincere. It's like Obama saying he's going to close Gitmo, and then he passes NDAA. Or the rendition programs, the CIA, we just take people and torture them in a country where it's okay to do that. Or, oh, I'm going to end the wars and triple the war in Afghanistan. He's a liar. Obama is lying. We'll come back.
The There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Wall Street wizards on the lam from a mental institution claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the pie?
Hello, we have a caller on the line, Frank in Maryland. And Frank, I'm sorry, I got on a rant there, but please tell me what's on your mind.
Oh, great program this afternoon. And a couple callers back, you were talking about the Israeli lobby.
Right.
And one of the books I had read that was opened up my eyes was a book called The Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. And it was done by two highly regarded professors of University of Chicago. One was called Stephen Wall. Right. And basically, it's a simple theory how Israel controls foreign policy. It's by buying Congress with our own money. Now, for example, if we give Israel, say, $5 billion a year in aid, they would kick back $1 billion to spread that money around in Congress and to buy media personalities such as Wolf Blitzer or maybe Charles Krauthammer or anybody that they can put on the payroll.
Wolf Blitzer is a former employee of AIPAC. Former.
To give their point of view. Now, if you look at Where's the America, and that there is no American interest in it. And then it's not even for American Jews, because they're not taking this money and renovating synagogues and making them handicap accessible for Jewish people that live in America. They're completely Israeli-controlled foreign policy for Israel. And this is where it's hurting American interest, because we are so entangled with them, we can't divide our own interests for our own best interest, what's good for America, than the Israeli interest. And that drags us into a lot of conflicts. Now,
that's
I'm old enough to remember.
Born in Iraq.
Yeah, and I'm old enough to remember, you know, before the State of Israel, we were very rarely involved in the Middle East. I mean, as far as Muslims, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, they weren't a problem. It was till Israel began to solicit and getting billions of dollars in aid and free money from the taxpayers, and they began to turn that money and buy Congress, buy influence in the media, and convince us that, you know, the Muslims are the bad people and they're all terrorists, or terrorists in training. And we've became so entangled to believe that lie.
There's been a big push in the media for that, not only in like Blitzer and things, but in Hollywood as well, where every Muslim's like running around with a bomb or hijacking a plane.
Yeah, right. And you want to talk about how strong that lobby is. Now, if you look at, say, the most of the Jewish American politicians that are in Congress, well over 90% are for open borders in America. They're for strict gun control. They're for multiculturalism. I mean, you can run on a list of Jewish politicians that all support that. But when they go to Israel, they will not say one criticism of Israel's policies and building walls around their country about Israelis can own any type of gun they want without unrestricted. If you're Jewish Israeli, you can own anything. About the way they have, you know, religious supremacy laws where you can't, you know, marry outside your faith. There is no criticism whatsoever. But they fly back home to America and they tell us
segregate
we have to
segregate high schools. They have segregated high schools in Israel. And I want to point out, though, it's not a reflection on politicians because they're Jewish. It's that the Jewish politicians who win are the ones who get support from Zionist and Zionist lobby and the backing and the press and so on. So there's a filter there. The reason there's so like 90-some% are of that ideology is because the ones who are not of that ideology are not getting state sponsorship and that support. And if you want to win an election, especially pre-internet days, you got to have that, because if you're not on TV, no one knows who you are, and you are not going to win anything. That's for Zionists across the board, Christian Zionists as well. They can get that money, and in little congressional races and primaries and things, that's a lot of money. I mean, that not that many people vote unless it's a presidential year for like a regular run-of-the-mill congressman or a senator is a little bit bigger. But for some district, if you get that support from AIPAC, you got a good shot at winning. And so they are stacking it with their own.
Oh, yeah, but right. And it's not, you know, it's just pointing out that they take very extremist liberal views in America, but when they go to Israel, right, to get the back, and they have to basically keep quiet, even though they disagree with Israel's policies of building walls and keeping, you know, segregated, like you said, high schools and segregated roads and segregated housing. But when they come back to America, they completely, you know, they let their liberalism flow freely out of their mouths, and it's just that's the power of the Israeli lobby, and that's what's ruining our foreign policy. We have to de-entangle from the Middle East. We must remember what George Washington said about foreign entanglements, and he was right on the money. You know, that was over 200 years ago. He warned Americans about foreign involvement and how we should keep neutral and never keep no country too close, because it shades our ability to become true American patriots. And this is what we have lost, and we can thank our crummy school education that these young people are getting, with the exception of you. I mean, you're a younger man, but you're highly intelligent, and you're not a product of the public education. You're a product of the truth and reality, and I enjoy listening to you, and I appreciate you taking my call, sir.
Well, we got a break coming, so We'll pick it up after that.
Right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Hey, John.
What do you need, Steve?
Can you spare any diesel fuel?
Maybe. What do you have to offer?
How about this $5 gold piece?
What the heck am I supposed to do with that?
Come on, man. I'm your neighbor.
What else you got?
Well, I've got some heirloom squash seed.
Any zucchini? Dark green?
Yes, of course. I've got a Texas Ready Liberty seed bank.
How much diesel fuel did you say you need?
I could really use a gallon.
Yes, folks, it's not called seed money for nothing. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff, so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from beans to barter. Order today at texasready.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. texasready.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, we're back. This is Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm the substitute host, Ryan Dawson, for Mike Rivera's show, What Really Happened show. And I want to expand a little bit on what the last caller was talking about in regards to Israel and the lobby and Zionism in general. You know, Zionism is a political ideology. It's not an ethnicity. It's not a religion. It has some overlap, but it is through and through a political ideology, and it hides behind these other things to obfuscate all of its evil doings. And the policies of Israel are causing anti-Semitism because it unfortunately gets collectivized, because that's what the Zionists do, and it seems like Jews in general in the diaspora, no matter where they live, are somehow responsible for Israel's behavior, which is about as nutty as saying Asians in general are responsible for how North Korea is. It's ridiculous, but it is reality. And so not only is what Israel does intrinsically bad for ethnically cleansing, bulldozing down houses, shooting people with rubber bullets that are metal coated in rubber, and dumping white phosphorus on people, torturing people, all the ills they do, at the same time, ironically, this state that's supposed to be, or originally, allegedly, is to support and promote and have a safe haven for Jewish culture and history, has done the exact opposite and turning opinions against Jews in general for the unfair association to this psychotic political state. I feel like we had a little depressing here with the wars in Iran and sanctions in Yemen and all the things I've been talking about. So I'd like to share a kind of funny story I thought was humorous about a friend of mine that went to Israel. And it was eye-opening for me because I know a lot about Israel from reading and things. But, you know, someone who's there, who's been there, who I know also, is a friend of mine from New York. It's a Jewish guy from New York. Took his return trip to Israel. And this is just, you get a little bit more insight like this. Now, that in itself, you know, Israel pays for you to go there. I'd be fine with that. You know, a state, if you, I don't know, you want Irish Americans to go to Ireland and they're going to pay for it, that's up to them. I would be completely cool with that if it was Israel's own money doing it, but it isn't. The U.S. pays for a lot of that. But anyway, you know, he took advantage of programs there. He had very sincere, you know, motivations to go see his heritage. So it was awesome. It was worth it for him, and he has some relatives there. He goes to Israel. He has all these high hopes. He's not Zionist, but, you know, he wanted to see the cultural things, all the tourist things, the wall, and, you know, and see his relatives as well. He gets there. I mean, from the moment when the airplane landed first, they basically interrogated everybody to make sure, are you really, really Jewish? To what Hebrew school did you go to? Whatever, to make sure people aren't just scamming this program where you can take the trip for free. And there was a girl, young girl, with them in their group who they just decided, eh, we don't believe it. She's already there. Right? This is the airport in Israel. And they stripped her down naked, strip searched her, looked in every hole. I mean, that you want to talk about TSA bad? That's what they were doing. How sincere they thought she had a bomb or something, I don't know. I asked if she was attractive. He said, "It's yeah." But that from the first seconds he's there, right? Now, he much enjoyed the culture and seeing his family and everything, but he said he could never live there because it's like the entire country's an airport. What they've done with their policies of colonization of the West Bank and making Gaza an outdoor prison is they're under constant threat, or at least they feel like it. I mean, and that's a normal response to what happens when you murder people. But every shopping mall has got like 20-year-olds walking around with machine guns and metal detectors everywhere. But his tour guide, who's Bedouin, this is the funny part of the story, sorry, was telling them all, you know, don't leave your bag unattended anywhere. Because if you do and you come back, or if you lose your bag, it's liable to be a bomb scare and close everything down and they will blow up your bag. So my friend, being the way he is, decided, really? And of course, he and his relative, I'm being careful here, not saying names or anything, but, and I'm not, don't do this, okay? Don't go and do this. I'm just telling you what happened now. They went into West Jerusalem. They'd been in East Jerusalem, enjoyed that, bought some music from Palestinians and things. They go into West Jerusalem, the Jewish side. They went to the market. They bought a bunch of fruit and put it in a duffel bag. I think they didn't really believe him, the Bedouin guy, but they did this, and then they lost it, a.k.a. left it, and just went away and were kind of watching it. And lo and behold, they shut the whole market down and went out the bomb squad or whoever to this – it's a bag full of fruit, melons and such, and blew up the bag. And there's nothing in it, of course, but that shows you the tension level. I mean, imagine, this is where you can't go somewhere else. That's the way they have to live every day, where if there's an unattended bag, it might be a bomb. They shut down the whole market. And we were joking, well, hey, I don't want to go to work today. I'll just leave a lunch bag outside and get an hour off or whatever. But it's funny because it's so depressing. I need humor to deal with it. But I got a kick out of that. But don't go to West Jerusalem and leave bags everywhere, you know. But that they did that and that happened, I said, hey, you're kind of initiated. You sort of did a false flag because you know that'll get blamed on Muslims. But they shut down the whole market. It's unbelievable. And that's how they have to live every day. And so when you say, well, a certain percentage of Israelis are supporting their government and everything, that's because, you know, from the time they're a child on, and I'm trying to have some understanding here, they live like that all the time. And yes, it's a reaction to their own policies and things, but out of fear, they feel like, well, we can't reverse it now all of a sudden. So, well, let's just be nice for all the crimes that have already been done, that it's just self-perpetuating. They feel like they have to have the security state. They have to continue because were they to relax it, maybe all the revenge would pour on in. So it's kind of a catch-22. They are trapped in this system where they're normal people. They don't like shooting little kids. They know the house demolitions are wrong. Majority of the settlers are economic settlers. They basically don't have a house. They're in debt, and they're dangling this free place right in front of them. It's protected by armed guards. A lot of them have pools and things. They're right on the aquifers because they always go up to the hilltops first. And they say, well, you know, if I don't take it, someone else is going to take it anyway. And so they do it. So it's not like as evil as it seems that everyone's in on it and supporting it. It's they all are in a bad situation. And of course, there's a housing crisis in Israel, and I personally believe that's on purpose to encourage economic settlement, because the other portion, the minority of the settlers, or what we'd call the zealots that actually have ideological regions where they want to be a settler and want to make a Jewish-only town and see it exclusively like that, but around 80%, this is from Media Education Foundation. They made Peace Propaganda and the Promised Land, excellent film, People in the Land, so on. Around 80% of the settlers are economic settlers, not hardline Zionist religious types. And so you have to understand that. And if we want to have a solution ever to this, two state or one, and I don't think one is realistic at this point, I do not agree with the BDS, but you know, you can debate about that if someone wants to call in. But if we're ever going to have this, we have to have this understanding. It's hard because you see all the crimes that the Israelis do, but you have to look at the people's perspective where a bag can be left on the ground for a little bit too long and it shuts down the whole market and everyone has to close and they're actually scared that they almost died that day. And you have to kind of wrap your head around that. Really take the time to imagine this. And then obviously take the time to imagine the Palestinian side. I think that's a lot easier. There is absolutely no way to justify what is being done to Palestinian people. And again, I'm going to bump Ken O'Keefe's film, Trade Not Aid, because aid is usually debt. And a lot of the aid doesn't ever make it there. Trade, I was talking about with Iran earlier too, economic independence, that is how you lift everything up. You have to have self-sufficiency. If you look around the U.S., at the Indian reservations, same system, self-sufficiency, mineral rights, when they really takes a lot of fighting, if they can get that, then they can succeed on their own, fine, perfectly. But without that, self-sufficiency, it's just a cycle of check to check, working for debt, you know, under the man, basically. I'd like to, I've always wanted to talk about a special event, a false flag many of you know about, called the Levon Affair, because I think a lot of people are getting it wrong, unfortunately. And not wrong, but there's some missing information. So I want to explain this. I'll just take a minute. Hopefully I can squeeze this in before the next break. Of course, the Levon Affair is named after the defense minister, Levon. And it's a time, it's back in the 50s and 54 when the Israeli Secret Service set up this ring in Egypt. And they went around and they blew up targets for U.S. and British targets. And one of the operatives' bombs went off prematurely in his jacket, and they went through his house, and they found out these were all Israelis. But, of course, they tried to blame the whole event on Egyptians. kind of foreshadows the Strike 3 of the USS Liberty bombing. It was called Operation Susanna, but it always gets called the Levon Affair nowadays because Pinhas Levon was forced to resign over the incident. However, he actually wasn't involved in the plot. Not that I like him, because he was bad enough already, but he wasn't involved in the plot. The real culprit was this Zionist Colonel Binyamin Gvil, who had forged Levon's signatures, which made it appear like he was the main plotter. But that's not how it was, so you might want to call it the Binyamin Affair. Not that I have sympathy for Levon, but I do care about historical accuracy. So I just wanted to point that out, kind of a pet peeve of mine. So that's I'd like to rename the Levon Affair that from here on out and let you know. There's a big write-up I did on my timeline. Oh, we've got a caller, Alan from Connecticut. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ryan. I just wanted to add to all your chatter about Israel and their mindset over there. There's a really, really killer documentary that I saw that'll open everybody's eyes up to that. It's called Defamation. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Ah, yes.
That's one that I think everybody needs to see. It was on YouTube at one time, but it's gone. And I think you'd probably have to rent it. What's that?
Big surprise there. YouTube is partnered with the ADL.
I know.
But that film, you see the ADL's office, and it's just a bunch of chumps. They're not some big, like, a bunch group of lawyers. And so it's like a couple fat guys sitting on computers looking for something to complain about because they don't have enough cases of anti-Semitism. And they'll invent them or exaggerate them when they can. I was personally attacked by the ADL for the film I made about 9/11, War by Deception. It's now called War is Always by Deception. They wrote a thing, and then it got picked up in Haaretz in the Jerusalem Post. Now, Haaretz retracted it after I got up in their grill about it. Jerusalem Post did not, but, of course, they're owned by Hollander and Richard Pearl, and they were actually in my film, so that's that. But they personally wrote this terrible piece about me. I'm like, wow, but I go for a job on my resume, and they look up my name on Google, and that might pop up. You know, it doesn't matter. Of course, everything they accused me of was just baloney, but the smear is poison enough by itself, you know. But Defamation, maybe it'll be on Vimeo. If I find it, I'll throw it up there.
That is possible. I think the filmmakers themselves, when it was on YouTube, actually pulled it. It wasn't YouTube themselves. They just didn't want it out there yet because I guess it was fresh and new in the rental market, and they were trying to make some money on it first. So I don't know if it'll show up later, but what a killer film. It gives you all sides. it blew my mind.
It's narrated by a Jewish guy going around interviewing everyone, right?
Yeah, even his grandmother. That was a really funny scene, actually.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are like that. Like, I know, they're like, I know Ryan, but I tell you, my grandma's just like, you can't get through it.
No.
It's like, hey, I have two grandmothers, and yeah.
And another thing that really turned me on, this just popped into my head, was the Norman Finkelstein documentary. I watched that maybe a month ago, and there was somebody, I don't remember her name, somebody they were interviewing in the documentary who was a very close friend of his, and names are going to escape me, but when he was calling that other university professor out on the book he wrote in that movie, his
maybe
friend, this woman, who is actually on his side with everything that he believes, came out and said, I don't know what Norman was thinking when he wanted to go up against this guy. Doesn't he know the connections he has? And that really opened my eyes, because even somebody that's on the other side of this issue, that is Israeli or Jewish or however you want to put it, still scratches her head and wonders what Norman could possibly be thinking when he says these things. Well, he has a conscience.
I mean,
he has a conscience. That's why he did. But even somebody on the other side will still go that far down. And that's what I try to tell people when I explain what's going on over there. the roots of this fear are so deep. The psychological roots are so, so deep. It's been going on for so long that to turn that around, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. It's we're going to need a miracle.
It's very hard, and it's a death knell in the U.S. and Canada to even bring up the issue, because you have a lot of hurdles, the like automatic kind of emotional responses that you have to deal with before you can even start talking about the subject. And yet, it's not that complicated. I mean, you have a state, just like South Africa, that segregates and is colonizing people. I mean, it's totally wrong.
Right.
It's indefensible, but there's a lot of rigmarole about it.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you go because I hear
break.
The music.
If you want to hold on, you can. If you want to let go, you can. I'll leave it up to you.
No, I'll let go because you got a break. That's fine.
All right.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint. We've drowned in fat ever since.
And we're back. This is Ryan Dawson subbing for Mike Rivera, who's on vacation. You're listening to the What Really Happens show on Republic Broadcast Network. I was talking about some history before the calls, and where I was talking about the Binyamin affair, which people call the Levon affair, and I'm trying to make a movement to make it a little bit more accurate there. But I want to point out, okay, this is in 54 by 56, even though it's completely busted as a false flag. They're trying to blame Egyptians, and they're bombing targets, Western targets. This is a pretext to keep the Suez, you know. It didn't matter, because in 56, the United Kingdom and France went in and bombed Egypt anyway. And it was actually Eisenhower, ironically, who stepped in and created the ceasefire. And, of course, this is how the Sudan was created, which now was North Sudan and South Sudan as of last July. But it's so ironic that they made the ceasefire from Eisenhower. You've seen More Than Taboo. You know my feelings about him. But, you know, Eisenhower turned around. He warned us about the MICs. So the guy's a mixed bag, I suppose. But as part of this agreement, they put in UN peacekeeping forces, which were set to patrol the border between Egypt and Israel for a decade. Now, it's 56, right? Tail end of it, about 57. Following their removal in May of 1967, Israel, on June 5th, invaded Egypt. Again, based on a false pretext. And again, created a false flag with a green light from LBJ, from Johnson, who really couldn't do otherwise after what happened to JFK, which that's another can of worms. You get that later, too. But it almost worked. It may have worked, but the Israelis, of course, failed to sink the USS Liberty. They couldn't even sink an intelligence ship with a surprise attack, even though they attacked it for hours on end and unmarked planes. And so thus the survivors were still around of the U.S. Liberty attack, foiled the whole plot, because they were there, and it'd be pretty hard to explain to these Americans, oh, well, it was Israel who shot you, it doesn't matter, we're going to go bomb Egypt anyway. They foiled the whole thing. So Israel botched the job. But that wasn't just a plain false flag where they tried to say, oh, we're going to go attack this ship and blame it on the Egyptians. Then they fell back to the position, okay, we attacked it, but we thought it was an Egyptian ship. Even that's clearly a lie. There are markings and American flags all over it. And then why would you use unmarked planes, right? They knew. But Johnson was in on it. He said, I want that leapity-bleep ship to go to the bottom of the ocean.